Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
We got a great show lined up for you. First, a quick word from our friends at Jace Medical. According to a new report, President Biden has signed off on a highly classified plan that shifts America's nuclear strategy to focus on China as a nuclear threat and to prepare for the possibility of the communist nation teaming up with Russia and North Korea. That sounds wonderful. All this stuff, no matter what you're talking about, when you're talking about unrest around the world, kind of reminds you need to be a little bit prepared. There's something you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have medication on hand when it's needed, and that's called the Jace case from Jace Medical. You can stock up on medication right now so you're prepared. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. We take this stuff for granted. We're always thinking that the pharmacy is always going to be there for us. Well, there's been a lot of times in our history where that hasn't been the truth, so prepare yourself. Five life-saving antibiotics for emergency use are in a Jace case, and you can expand it as well with all sorts of customizations. But just fill out a simple form online. You'll have it in case you need it. Go to jace.com, enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com, J-A-S-E.com.
STU does America.
We got Mike Howell joining us from the Heritage Foundation in a few minutes to give us the real story on Project 2025, which is evil. And there's been a few overnight updates in the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I want to get to some of those here. In fact, though, we should break the news early and make sure that you're aware of it. We've accomplished something pretty significant as a nation. We went an entire day without an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Yeah, we did it, guys. Woohoo! There it is. One full day with no assassination attempts. Act Blue, good work. Good job, Democrats. You kept it off the news for at least one more day. So congratulations to Donald Trump, who didn't get shot at yesterday. The day before he did, but almost did, but not yesterday. He's okay. So congratulations. They wouldn't let me finish. J.D. Vance reveals Trump's first reaction to the gunman. This comes from the Daily Wire. And basically, Donald Trump, who's handling this stuff much better than I would be. Like, if I got shot in the head and the ear and bled all over the place on TV and stood up and said, fight, fight, fight. And then a gunman was hanging out in the bushes for 12 hours waiting for me to come, you know, around the ninth hole. I think I'd be a little bit more testy than Donald Trump is over this. He basically said, I'm a little mad because I was about to make a birdie putt on the sixth hole and they wouldn't let me finish. So, I mean, I guess that's the best way to handle this stuff. You might as well sit back and just try to take it in perspective. I don't know. Maybe this guy he's different, obviously. He's a unique fellow that we have learned over the past few years, and he's handling this stuff much better than I would. I would just want to be in a Pope mobile everywhere I went. But he doesn't seem to have that feeling at all. I don't know if he's not worried about dying. I don't necessarily think that's it. Maybe he just believes in the law enforcement around him. I mean, there's some reasons to not be so optimistic about that, I think. The fact that they didn't even search the perimeter before he went golfing is a little concerning. Though the fact that they found a barrel of a rifle sticking out of a bush is a miracle, I think. It's amazing that they found that in the first place without a real thorough search beforehand, but that's where we are. Now, the Trump administration is trying to make people understand there's a reason for all of this happening. And a lot of it is because when you tell people that someone is Hitler, their instinct is to really hate that person. A person who's on the fringe, like this character that tried to assassinate Donald Trump, Ryan Routh, I think his name is. When you have a guy who's already on the fringe, and you're already out there, you start hearing this constantly, and maybe you start believing and start saying, hey, that's something I can do. One of the things that's been pretty consistent in the reporting on this guy is that he's always been looking for a way to make a difference. That's sometimes manifested its way in a good circumstance earlier on in life. Lately, it's been more like kind of crazy stuff, like he's going to Ukraine to recruit people to come fight in Ukraine. But this seems to be maybe what he thought, hey, I couldn't get the Ukraine thing done. I failed pretty much everything else in my life. He was down to something like $68 in his bank account. And he said, well, if I go to Florida and I do this, that'll make a difference. And like this is, you know, where people have been put mindset wise for Donald Trump for years and years and years and years and years. They released a Democratic rhetoric inspired another attempt on Donald Trump's life. This is from the Trump campaign. They went through 50 different quotes, stuff like, you know, he needs to be eliminated, said by congressmen. Right. Like this is there's a whole list of them and tons of stuff that you can go check out the entire list. Maybe we'll tweet it out so you can see it. But it's very disturbing. And this has been something that has been central to the Democrats' approach, especially during the Biden administration. Now, Biden came out and was basically like, hey, I've got a red empire-like wall behind me. Let me tell you how of an existential threat Donald Trump is. Kamala echoed that same type of stuff. Now, they've tried to back off of that a little bit and become joyful, you know. So we're all for joyful assassination attempts. Hillary Clinton, though, just yesterday again was saying that the media has to have a narrative that is going to push people to understand that Donald Trump is a massive threat to their country, to them, to their children. Like, what do you do when that's true? I mean, that's how you describe Michael Myers. So, I mean, I don't know. Usually what you do in that situation is try to go take them out. And that's what it seems like the Democrats are encouraging at this point. And especially the fact, and I mentioned this yesterday, it's one thing to say stuff, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of like, I mean, they got mad at Sarah Palin for saying, hey, we're targeting these districts. And they said that caused a shooting. You know, Joe Biden said, we want to put a bullseye on Donald Trump. It's much worse. Do I think that that rhetoric should inspire some nut job? No, but, you know, I mean, people do. And I will say, at some point, you hit a point when there's multiple assassination attempts against a person. The only responsible thing to do is to knock this crap out. I understand you can say things, you know, people use football analogies and you know, we destroyed the competition and we're going to roll over them and all these things that have somewhat of a violent connotation behind them. But we all get what they mean. I mean, at least most people do. At some point, though, when the assassination attempts have already started and are continuing, maybe then you back off of that a little bit and you're a little more careful with what you say. It's just an idea, but it seems like the responsible idea. Now, another responsible thing for a candidate to do is to do an interview. And we showed you our new graphic, which is how many days we've had since an assassination attempt. Our old one was how many days since Kamala has done an interview. And I believe we got up to 80 because the one she did with Tim Walz on CNN doesn't count. She's with Tim Walz. That's a buddy interview. I want a solo interview. And I was charitable to break the streak by counting an interview with ABC6 Action News. Exclusive Action News interview. Kamala Harris discusses economy, guns, and more. Let's go through some of this. This is an interview, as I mentioned, with ABC6 Action News. And you have to just hear how bad she is. Yes, she had a debate that cleared a very basic hurdle. I will admit that. In fact, I predicted it and said it multiple times before it happened. The same thing with her, you know, with her speeches. She can clear basic hurdles as a candidate. She's not the worst candidate in the world. Where she tends to fall down is when she's not expecting something, when she's taken off guard, when it's a lower level spotlight where she doesn't really prepare for it, and when she's drawn out over a long period of time, when she has to not answer the questions once or twice or three times, she has to answer the fourth and fifth and sixth level questions. I mean, this one should be incredibly easy for her, but she's asked this question by ABC6 Action News. Watch.
At the debate the other night, you talked about creating an opportunity economy.
Right. I remember that.
Wonder if we can drill down on that a little bit.
Let's
when
drill
we talk
down.
About
Get some
bringing down prices mm-hmm. and making life more affordable for people.
Right.
What are one or two specific things you have in mind
things.
For that?
Okay, what are they?
Well, I'll start with this.
The specific things?
I grew up a middle-class kid.
Uh-oh.
My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard.
That's nothing to do with.
She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager.
We didn't ask for this.
I grew up in a community of hardworking people. You know, construction workers and nurses and teachers.
The jobs of your neighbors, you're telling us?
I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this.
They will.
You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn.
Of their lawn?
You know?
No.
And
not really.
And I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity.
Dignity? Where's the proposal?
And that we as Americans have a beautiful character.
Character? You know, what are you doing with your hand right now?
Ambitions and aspirations and dreams. But not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions.
Okay, so you're proposing ambitions?
When I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing
in the ambitions
and the incredible work.
You use aspirations like three times.
And creating opportunity for people, for example,
opportunity
to start a
like
small
10
business.
Times.
My mother,
big swallow there.
Worked long hours, and our neighbor helped raise us.
This is a disaster.
We used to call her, I still call her, our second mother.
Our second mother?
She was a small business owner. I love our small business owners.
Holy crap! I mean, that went on forever, and she never gets to anything other than eventually mentioning, and we're going to throw $50,000 at some people we like. There's really nothing in there of note, especially stuff that she hasn't mentioned. It's embarrassing. That was not, by the way, a particularly difficult question. Hey, tell us about your lead economic proposal. It wasn't like, hey, your lead economic proposal is wrong for these reasons. Tell us how you're going to justify that. No, it was just like, hey, tell us about it. Give me a proposal that you're backing. Nothing. Hey, we're talking about lawns. Lawns! People are proud of their lawns and they have ambitions. That's your policy proposal. It doesn't really improve from there, I have to admit. So another good question here, and this is actually true. People, a lot of time, there's a lot of fact checks going around. This is actually one of those that does check out. She's currently the vice president of the United States. And a lot of people don't believe that because she's acting like she's this change candidate that wants to move forward and turn the page on, I guess, the current administration that she's working in. So, again, a good question here from ABC6 Action News about whether, look, aren't you currently the vice president? Like, how are you different than Joe Biden?
You're talking about a new way forward.
Yeah.
I think some people have a question. Given maybe your current role as Vice President of the United States,
maybe
how different you are from Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there are one or two spots, policy areas or approaches where you would say, I'm a different person.
Well, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
That's funny. You're not.
You know, I offer a new generation of leadership.
Yeah, that's
and
not an answer.
So, for example, thinking about developing and creating an opportunity economy.
Oh, are you doing an opportunity economy again?
It's about.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Investing in areas that really need a lot of work.
Oh, please don't say aspirations
again. And maybe focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams, but also just recognizing that at this moment in time, some of the stuff we could take for granted years ago, we can't take for granted anymore.
Oh, no.
For example, another plan that I have that is a new approach is to expand the child tax credit.
The check?
To $6,000.
Wait, but that was...
For young families.
That was J.D. Vance's plan.
For the first year of their child's life. Because that is obviously
your only plan
a very
is J.D. Vance's plan?
Stage of development of a child. And a lot of young parents need the help to buy a car seat or a crib or clothes for their kids.
Did you take this
and
from
so
JDVance.com?
My approach is about new ideas, new policies that are directed at the current moment.
Okay.
And also, to be very honest with you, my focus is very much in what we need to do over the next 10, 20 years. To catch up to the 21st century around, again, capacity, but also challenges.
Oh, around, again, capacity and also challenges. You didn't study for this one, did you? Can you see the difference with her having a week to sit with experts to memorize things and her just going off the top of her head? Do you get that? Can you detect the difference at all? Also, she was asked about gun ownership, because that was a surprise to me. I didn't remember her ever saying she was a gun owner. She did say that in the debate, and she was asked about her gun proposals.
You mentioned that you are a gun owner. I know you said it in 2019 as well. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your values on this issue. When it comes to gun ownership, where do you draw the line in America on gun ownership and gun use?
Well, like you said, Brian, I am a gun owner, and Tim Walz, my running mate, is also a gun owner.
Yeah,
we're not taking anybody's
too.
Guns away.
Oh, you're not, huh? No, you're not going to take guns away.
I support the Second Amendment, and I support reasonable gun safety laws.
How does that work exactly?
Part of my approach to this is I was a career prosecutor for most of my career.
Were you?
I have personally prosecuted homicide cases.
Uh-oh.
I have personally looked at autopsies.
Mm.
I have personally seen what assault weapons do to the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel very strongly that it is consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun to also say we need an assault weapons ban.
Oh.
They're literally tools of war.
Oh, are they literally?
They're literally designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly.
Okay, first of all, they were not designed as tools of war. They were adopted by the U.S. military after they were already released. They are also called modern sporting rifles. You said you're not going to take anybody's guns. And then you also said you want to ban the most popular sporting rifle in America. That's kind of an issue, right? It doesn't seem at all consistent. And here's another thing about guns. They're all designed to theoretically kill people. It's about the people, it's about how they are used, right? That's just, I mean, an unfortunate fact of firearms is that sometimes people will use them for bad purposes. Used to be that we have, like, if someone uses a car to run over a bunch of people, we would go after that person. We wouldn't look to ban the car. In this particular case, we're looking to ban the guns. This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But it is not, she's not thinking this out deeply, right? She does not have the capacity to come up with these ideas on her own. And when she's not prepped, this is kind of the nonsense she comes up with. Oh, well, I saw an autopsy. What does that have to do with anything? It's got nothing to do with anything. You know, when people die, they die. It's sad, but they don't look good. No matter what kind of gun they're using, or a knife, or whatever else, it's not a pretty picture. It's not how you make policy. You don't make policy because you saw some icky things one time when you were doing a case. Doesn't make any sense. All right, how about there's a bunch of Trump people out there voting for Donald Trump. You've basically called them fascists, and they're horrible human beings. So how do you bridge that gap? This is another question from ABC6 Action News.
How do you speak to his voters, or maybe people who just share his values but are open to something else?
I, based on experience and a lived experience, no. In my heart, I know, in my soul, I know that the vast majority of us as Americans have so much more in common than what separates us.
Oh, that's nice.
And I also believe that I am accurate in knowing that most Americans want a leader who brings us together as Americans and not someone who professes to be a leader who is trying to have us point our fingers at each other.
This is a great example of what she does. If you want to say, hey, Americans want a leader who bring us together. Now, that's a nonsensical platitude, but okay, you want to say that. That's how you'd say it, right? Look, Americans want a leader who's going to bring us together. This is what she says. And I also believe that I am accurate in knowing that most Americans. She used filler after filler after. I also believe that I am accurate in knowing that Americans want a leader that. You don't need all that phraseology. She's using that to run out the clock, but really more than anything else, extend the time period where she can come up with something to say after that. Any sentence can start this way. You know, I also believe that I am accurate in knowing I'd like a number 4 meal at Taco Bell. No matter what, it doesn't matter. All that is nonsense. This is what she does because she has no idea where she's going when these sentences begin. Kind of an issue for a president of the United States. Let me give you another clip. This is from also ABC Action News.
If there's one thing that you wish Americans knew about who Kamala Harris is that you don't think they know yet, what would that be?
I don't know. I mean, probably it's not very different from anybody watching right now. I love my family.
I mean, look at the improv skills there. She loves her family. That's what people might want to know about her. And you might say, Stu, that was kind of a boring clip, honestly. Like, it's nothing really happened. And why did you pull that one? Because almost nothing happened in this interview. Okay? I played you every relevant aspect of it already. Any sort of information. Those are the pieces that were filled with information from this interview. Let me give you how desperate I got. This was the last clip that I pulled.
Well, it's a beautiful family, yeah. And we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Lynn, if you don't mind, we're going to do a crew photo.
Yeah.
That's all I have. The interview was 11 minutes. I just don't know if that qualifies as an interview. Now, I will give the guy asking the questions a little bit of credit. They were very nicely phrased, very friendly room. But, like, there are a couple questions that could have theoretically led to something. But you see, there's no pushback. There's no follow-up. There's no interest in pushing her and saying, hey, wait a minute, you're not answering these questions. You don't seem to know anything about the topics I'm asking you about. Wait, this gun thing you just pointed out, that's not even true. How about the idea that the assault weapons ban has already been tried and has been shown by multiple authorities to show it had no effect whatsoever? People just started killing people with other types of guns. Didn't work at all. Full stop. But that's where we are. Well, look, we know she's a bunch of nonsense. She knows she's spilling. And we got about 3 or 4 Veep thoughts out of that, I think. We're going to come up with those maybe in future weeks. But for now, let's look back at the life of Kamala Harris and another Veep thought.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Today, the business of our work is for the council to report on the work that has occurred since our last meeting across these areas. We will today also discuss the work yet ahead, the work we must still do.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
We all know that the left's endgame is court packing, and I mean, that's their mechanism to get to what they want. They'll pass every single thing they want, they'll just do it through the executive branch, and once they get enough justices on there, and they're going to support them, it's free reign. At First Liberty Institute, they call this assault on the court what it really is, a Supreme Court coup. Right now, if we add our voices and take action together, we can really help stop, we can stop their nonsensical plan, their radical plan to take over the Supreme Court. The future of the court and of preserving an American independent judiciary is literally in our hands. And that's why First Liberty Institute is taking action. They need you to join up. This is a great organization. They have done so many things for our country. All these big cases on religious liberty that you've heard about, that we've talked about on the show, it's First Liberty. They're constantly at the core of this, making sure that the right side wins the Supreme Court rulings. They've done incredible work, and now they're looking for 1 million patriots like you to stand up for the Supreme Court. And then as a nation, we can safeguard the independence of the judiciary, just as the Founding Fathers intended. You gotta say no to the left's Supreme Court coup. We can secure the blessings of liberty and protect the future of our constitutional rights for our children and our grandchildren. So go to supremecoup.com/stew. supremecoup.com/stew. You can learn how you can help stop the radical left's takeover of the Supreme Court through First Liberty Institute. It's supremecoup.com, supremecoup.com/stew.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
There's a disturbing story in the New York Times about how immigrants are being harassed. In July, 2 men went door-to-door at a sprawling apartment complex in Georgia, a suburb that is a hub for a fast-growing Latino population, asking residents if they were U.S. citizens and whether they were registered to vote. But it was a ruse. That's right. You know who was in charge of the whole thing, the whole criminal operation? The Heritage Foundation. That's what the New York Times tells me. Heritage Foundation spreads deceptive videos about non-citizen voters. And I want to get someone to answer for these crimes. I want to bring in Mike Howell. He's the Oversight Project Executive Director at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, this is a quite an accusation here. They're basically saying, you know, the Heritage Foundation's out there harassing immigrants to try to get them on record about whether they're voting or not. Can you tell me what this project is and what actually happened?
Yeah, so the New York Times is basically a glorified crossword puzzle and Sudoku with a bunch of blue and non clickbait stories. And one of them came out, a week or so ago, and it's a hit piece on our great investigative journalism work that we put out to the tune of 56 million shares and on Elon Musk's pinned tweet, where we're basically doing these spot checks across the country, asking non-citizens if they're registered to vote. And guess what? A lot are, because they are. And so we were down in Georgia and ran this play. And we got an astonishingly high number. I believe it was about 14% in this one apartment complex admitted on camera that they were registered and that they were not citizens. Keep in mind, that is a crime, and admissions of a crime on camera are admissible pieces of evidence. So if the very high evidentiary threshold was reached, the New York Times freaked out because they want people to think that everything's on the up and up. They commissioned a guy named Ken Bessinger to go out and run his second hit piece on us. He's tried this before and failed, and he took a big old swing here, and he had another big old miss. They basically found three out of the seven illegal aliens we spoke to on camera, and a woman named Marta, who is an illegal alien, said, holy moly, she lied on camera because she was, for whatever reason. And so they ran that as a retraction and tried claiming that they proved the whole thing was false. Of course, it's not false. We tore apart this hit piece in a long thread that went line by line, and guess what? Got way more views and engagements than the original New York Times hit piece, because again, they're just a crossword puzzle factory with some blue and non-clickbait headlines every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing that their fact check of you, this big debunking of this effort, says three of the seven people Heritage filmed later said they had misspoken. Now, first of all, why we would believe someone who's on the line for breaking the law for saying they misspoken is part one of this. But part two is it's less than half. It seems like there's still an issue here, right?
Yeah, and they didn't even prove that they're indeed not registered to vote. They just asked them, and, it looks like someone coached them up, from my read of this situation, to, answer and clear up the mess that they made. I mean, being registered to vote and voting is a deportable offense. So why would an illegal alien admit to a deportable offense on camera? It's, beyond the pale. But the New York Times ran with it anyways. They could have at least proven that these people were not at all registered. They did not do that. In fact, they worked with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to say, they're not registered at that address. Okay, sure. A lot of the illegal aliens tell us they get registered at work, DMVs, any of the shelter addresses they're at. That's not a sufficient check on the system. And so you have Raffensperger and his team working with the New York Times in order to kind of, say, hey, nothing to see here. All this invasion of the United States has no impact whatsoever on our very porous election system. It's crazy. It's why Americans are rightfully concerned that foreign interference by illegal aliens in our elections is a massive problem.
And what the left always brings up, though, is that these are, first of all, there's no widespread evidence of voter fraud, as if that makes it something that we shouldn't worry about. But I mean, is that true? I mean, do we know how many of these people are actually voting? How common is it for an illegal immigrant to actually get to the ballot and actually cast a vote?
It's remarkably easy. Due to the voter registration laws, they're basically asked to register the DMV and have to opt out by admitting that they're a non-citizen. Keep in mind, if you're an illegal alien that just trekked across, five countries and paid off the cartels to get here, you'd have to be pretty dumb to check a box in a government office admitting that you are here illegally. But they designed the system that way. It's largely an unpoliced system. That's why the only way to get at these cases are these spot checks, which we're doing. And we forced Oregon the other day, far left Oregon, to admit that they had hundreds of illegals registered. Ohio's done the same. Texas has done the same. And the New York Times keeps pointing to, you don't have all these convictions. Of course you don't, because who's going to be prosecuting? The Georgia Secretary of State, who's working with the New York Times to pretend it's not a problem? Biden administration? Most states don't even have election prosecutors full time. I think Texas is probably one of the only ones who does. And so it's all fake news, and they're trying to point to a problem that they don't want policed in the first place. And that's what we're doing, where it's remarkably easy, just asking non-citizens if they're registered. And sure enough, a lot of them admit that they are, and the systems exist for them not only to be registered, but encouraged to vote.
It's amazing that, and again, you should look at every single poll on this. Pretty much everybody who's an American citizen says, yeah, let's require ID. Let's have these basic checks. So many people. I mean, it's really one of the most popular public proposals in our discourse, requiring voter ID to vote. And yet the left and the media and the New York Times treat it as if it's this crazy racist idea. There's no evidence that African Americans don't want this policy, that Hispanics don't want this policy. People want the people that are voting to be checked out and make sure that they're citizens.
That's absolutely right. The New York Times caters to a very small sliver of, you know, upper middle class kind of, you know, far lefties that, you know, in these metropolitan areas, they just feed them what they want to hear that reassures them on some of their more fringe, you know, racialized beliefs. And that's what it's all about. I mean, case in point, today we just fact checked the New York Times again, because after last week's debate, they said the comment that Harris supports transgender surgeries for illegal alien prisoners needed context. And here we've been sitting on this document set at the Bureau of Prisons, where they actually have this whole procedure and process laid out for anyone in federal prisons to get these transgender surgeries, which has a huge subpopulation of illegal aliens. And it's not just the basics of, you know, the chopping off. It's everything up into augmentations, breast implants, laser hair removal surgeries. They're giving them the works and you are paying for it. And so the New York Times felt the need to try to debunk something that the right said, but clearly they're in this. They're the best PR agency for illegal aliens in the world, probably.
Maybe this is the best way to get your transgendered care covered. I mean, it's probably better than Obamacare. So, I mean, that's at least something. Before we go, I want to talk to you, Mike, about Project 2025. The left is coming after the Trump administration, saying this is Trump's plan for the White House. But you know, again, like Heritage has a job, right? Like they come up with ideas to pitch to government officials to try to get them to improve the government. I mean, that's what Heritage does. Isn't that basically just what Project 2025 was, a list of things you guys thought would be the best possible ideas?
Right. Every 4 years, we release the mandate for leadership, which are policy recommendations for any incoming administration. I've done it all the way going back to Reagan. This year is no different. And, you know, President Trump and his campaign, you know, have been running such a, you know, clear and, you know, convincing kind of domination thus far that, you know, President Biden had to bow out. And so you see the left grasping at straws, trying to find something else to yell about. And they poured millions and millions of dollars into this PR campaign, trying to tie P25 to President Trump, which is clearly nonsense. It does not speak for President Trump. It never has. Only President Trump speaks for President Trump. But hey, they'll disinformation the day away anyways.
Is it a bit kind of annoying for you guys over at Heritage who worked on this thing, I mean, for a long time? And now not only is the left coming after you, but also, I mean, like there's been a lot. I mean, Trump has distanced himself. And as you say, he speaks for himself. I mean, there's never a question where Donald Trump stands on something. He just blurts it out. That's what he does. But I mean, it has been one of these things that like everyone seems to be distancing themselves from what I've read of Project 2025. There's a lot of stuff online that's just not true about it. Most of the proposals that have gone into this seem to be really common sense conservative proposals for government. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they're mischaracterizing the whole thing. There's been numerous fact checks, even from some of the, you know, the far left outlets have basically said this is false. On our website, you'll see a US Today fact check of the entire thing when Harris tried tying Project 2025 to Trump. But, you know, they're just powering through. They know they do not need to be held accountable to such concepts as the truth and honesty. And I'll tell you what's annoying. On Sunday, we had a transgender nude protest outside the Heritage Foundation. They're basically just getting a lot of mentally unstable people really spun up and through fear mongering. And that's no different than what you see in some of these assassination attempts on President Trump. There are a lot of unwell people out in this country that the left is actively messaging to in order to activate their, you know, deepest held conspiracy theories and convictions. And it has real world consequences. And, you know, they should tone the rhetoric down, get back to honesty. But I have zero expectations of them doing that.
That's very true. I keep looking at this election and I keep thinking to myself, how have Democrats ever lost an election? Like every single thing the media does is aligned to try to have them win. We have multiple assassination attempts of President Trump that are being blamed on President Trump. The victims of these crimes are being blamed for the actual crime. I look at this and I wonder how can conservatives even win in this environment? Is it even possible?
Yeah, it absolutely is possible. The fundamentals right now are pretty powerful in that this has been a horrible administration. The American people reject all these insane policies. And so in any fair election, you'd expect those things to win out. The problem is President Trump and his team are going to have to win by a margin that, you know, is beyond what you need in a free and fair election. I mean, they've pulled out all the stops. Right now, you and I and everybody who are listening are paying for VP Harris's get out the vote effort. They've turned every federal agency into that. They've flooded the border with an invasion and allow these people to get registered to vote and try to tone down any policing of that. They're trying to put President Trump in jail. They're trying to have him killed. The rhetoric is out of control. The media is covering for all of these lies. And so, of course, President Trump can win, but he is going to have to win by a margin that is bigger than what would be required in a free and fair election. And due to the crazy policies and the bad record, that is certainly well within the realm of possibility.
Mike Howell is the Oversight Project Executive Director at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, thanks so much for coming on and talking us through all this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You don't need me to tell you that life is precious, that it could be, you know, taken away in an instant. I mean, think about what we've seen over the past couple of months. Even our presidential candidates can barely survive the current status of things. So what do you do? Well, you got to prepare yourself for whatever comes around the corner. You can't stop every single threat. You can't do everything, but you can prepare yourself for whatever might be around the corner. With a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, I have one in my home. You should have one on yours too, because it covers you for like 99% of stuff, right? Like, I mean, I guess zombie apocalypse, you might still have a problem after a month, but most of the time you'd expect the, you know, this country to be able to bounce back and put things back together. But you saw, even during COVID, there were times you couldn't even get toilet paper, right? What happens if you can't get your hands on the food that you need? With over 2,000 calories per day, there's enough to go around during times of social unrest, government crackdowns, or God forbid, an attack on the homeland. The food lasts up to 25 years, ready whenever disaster strikes. We've seen, you know, mass panic in our lifetimes before, some not that long ago. I'm not going to take my family's safety for granted. I don't think you will either. So do something about it. Right now, you can get $50 off the same 4-week emergency food kit that I have in my home. Go to preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. Save $50 on your 4-week emergency food kit. And My Patriot Supply will send it over as fast as humanly possible. They are, you know, really fast. A lot of times you get your order on the same day, or I guess maybe the next day. I mean, they're not hanging out in front of your house waiting to put it in your mailbox, but they get it out really quickly. Get your 4-week emergency food kit at preparewithstew.com. It's preparewithstew.com, preparewithstew.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Some new polling news out today. Good ones for Kamala Harris. Harris holds a 6-point national lead over Trump in post-debate polling. We're just starting to kind of get those initial polls that are after the debate, seeing what the effect of that debate was. This is Morning Consult. Usually he does pretty well for Harris, and this is no exception, 51-45. Democrats, of course, she's got 94% of the vote, as opposed to Trump having 91% of Republicans. She's also winning independents by 6 and has 78% of the black vote, 56% of ages 18 to 34. And so not too much surprising there. A good poll for her. You'd expect a polling bounce. We've talked about that a little bit after the debate. Probably a couple points. This is a couple points higher than the previous polling average, which is, you know, about 2 or 3, depending on who you're looking at. So that's where that stands right now. And that's like, you know, it's one national poll, not the big of a deal. A worse result for Donald Trump came from Iowa. Now, this is the Selzer poll. This is, you know, the polling nerds love her because of her attention to detail, whether you believe that is true or not. But it shows Donald Trump leading in Iowa only 47-43. Now, that is a really close result. If you don't remember Iowa's kind of past, Barack Obama was able to win Iowa in 2008. Since then, it's gone very red. It's been an easy state for Republicans to win. Trump won, was leading over Joe Biden by 18 points in the poll. This has been the way Iowa has looked here for a while, a low double digit type of state. However, this says it's only 4 points. Now, look, it's one poll. Do I believe that Iowa is a 4 point state? No, I do not. I do not believe it's a 4 point state. If it is a 4 point state, your next president is Kamala Harris. There's no question about it. She will definitely win the election in an environment where Iowa is a 4 point state. That being said, I don't believe that, and this is one poll. We'll see if this is shown in others as well. We have seen some scary polls in certain states, Florida being a little close. There's been a poll or two in Texas that showed it relatively close. But generally speaking, when you step back from the whole picture, you know, Donald Trump, I think, is going to be fine in those three states. We will see as the polling adapts. And I did mention this, I think, earlier. We have something supposedly coming this week. You know, just need Glenn to prove a couple of the details on the project, but when he does, we'll have something that will help you kind of sort through all this polling information in one simple way. And that's coming here in the next couple of days. So we'll keep you updated on that as we go forward. Is your teen unsure what to do after high school? And I don't mean like which video game to play or which, you know, flavor of Cheetos they're going to eat. I'm talking about like after high school when it's done. There's a new 6-week life and career skills course from Praxis, which might be exactly what you need. For the past decade, Praxis has helped nearly 1,000 homeschoolers and recent high school graduates launch their careers without college through their mentorship program, which is a really cool idea. Now, they're bringing all this expertise to teens with their new course called Discover. Discover is a 6-week self-paced course designed to equip teens with, you know, essential life and career skills, the stuff they should be learning in school, I guess, but might not be. Like, you know, how to build a professional network, how to make money by creating value. I know nobody does that anymore. Developing a vision for the future. These are really important things that, you know, a lot of times you don't get when you are in a school. So how do you work with this? Well, I should mention, it includes a coaching call, a free resume review, a copy of the book, Don't Do Stuff You Hate. Pretty good advice. And now for a limited time, they're offering listeners of this particular program 50% off the course. You got to use the promo code STU50 to get that, though. STU50, STU50. You're going to get over $300 off of this right now. Go to discoverpraxis.com/blaze. discoverpraxis.com/blaze. Don't forget that promo code. It's STU50. discoverpraxis.com/blaze. Learn more. So in the aftermath of October 7th, one thing that wasn't really talked about was, as all these horrible things are happening to Israelis from Hamas, at that point, Hezbollah basically said, oh, this is a good time to launch a bunch of rockets at Israel. They're kind of, you know, distracted. So they did that. Since then, they've been back and forth firing at each other and kind of in constant, like, light conflict ever since. Hasn't escalated to major war status yet, thankfully. But Israel has been doing what it can to try to take out Hezbollah members. And today was there was just a bananas story that came out about what is going on there. Israel somehow was able to sell or give thousands of pagers to Hezbollah members, and they were taking them around, using them on a day-to-day basis. What they did not know was inside of these pagers they were wearing around in their pockets, on their hips, was explosives. In fact, a couple of hours ago, before this show started, Israel, or I mean allegedly Israel, they have not admitted this, but everyone believes it's them, lit up these pagers, and all of them exploded at once. So hospitals around Lebanon are filled with Hezbollah members with just giant holes in their legs. Some of them were actually killed. But I'm talking about thousands. They said, Lebanon said it was 2,800 people had been hit with these pagers that were timed to go off and explode at the exact moment together so that people couldn't get rid of them when they realized what was going on. I mean, talk about James Bond craziness. This was something has never been done before, certainly at this scale. Israel, you don't want to screw with Israel. I would say don't do that. That sounds like a bad idea. Imagine where these Hezbollah members are thinking. Everything around them could be an explosive device at this point. We'll give you more details on that coming up tomorrow. Hey, if you're looking for something that you could do that would help out the show quickly, that would take no time and no money, we would appreciate it if you go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Just click follow on the page. We're getting close to 100,000 subscribers. We'd love to reach that nice round number. Give us a second. Click like, click follow, and do it today. youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica.